Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
It should be noted, by the way, that we've got a snow globe in the mail, because you know we have much love for snow globes here. This one from Scotland. Our listener, Michelle, who listens to us online in Scotland, sent us, today I got all this weird mail, but I got the strangest things in the mail. Like, I don't even know. I just get the weirdest packages, just complete non sequitur items that just arrive courtesy of the U.S. Post, like, day in, day out. And so today, Michelle sent me a bunch of refrigerator magnets and a single solitary snow globe from Scotland. So big ups to you in Scotland. All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland and 1-800-727-5955. In a few minutes, the lovely Therese will be joining us again for supplementary. We'll be augmenting her previous interview. See, that's what I'm talking about. I didn't even demand that she come in. I just sort of put it out there. I just sort of put a vague suggestion into the ether. And then it's like saying Beetlejuice. You just say Therese and she appears. Christina, I actually pay Christina, and she won't stay.
No bustier today, but she's just arrived looking fine again.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Excellent.
You'll have to wait.
Weasel. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. We just got so much show. We got like 7 hours of show today. Coming up later on this hour, we got another top five. We got the top five songs written about a day of the week. Another edition of How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk. Richard Nunn from the WB going to join us later on. At 2 o'clock, we'll be joined by Harry Gantz, who is the co-creator of HBO's Taxi Cab Confessions. They're starting a new show called But the Sex is Good, which is an HBO sort of documentary series about couples who stay together because the sex is good, even though the relationship's not. And they're looking for people to be on the show in, among other places, Portland. So he'll be on, about 55 minutes from now, so you want to hang tight for that. Again, 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. This is Tim Riley. He's in the KOTK newsroom.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
It's 104. This news is brought to you by Folgers. Now there's another way to enjoy the best part of waking up. Folgers Cafe Latte is a rich, frothy, creamy coffee treat. Why, it comes in delicious flavors like Vanilla Vibe, Mocha Fusion, and Caramel Groove. Fewer people died on the job in Oregon last year than any other time on record. There were 34 deaths in 2001. That's down from 45 in the year 2000. Why is that? Well, tons of people are laid off, and people died from mysterious things here.
Well, there's simply fewer jobs to die at.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly what it is.
And a lot of, some of these are forestry and industrial related. For instance, Wayne Freitas, a logger from Roseburg, died when a coworker operating machinery hit the wrong brake and dropped a motorized carriage 80 feet onto him.
That's a whole lot of bad.
Then the second leading cause of death was worker contact with equipment or objects. 27-year-old James Donathan, Amity truck driver, died when a 5,000-pound steel pipe rolled off a forklift right on top of him when he was loading it on his trailer.
Jesus.
So those are the kind of things we're known for here.
That's horrible. In fact, can I just tell you this? As a result of growing up in the Northwest, you know what I'm tremendously afraid of is logging trucks. Because I was always told growing up that logging trucks... Because my mom's side of the family worked in two industries. They worked in logging and they worked at Freightliner. The people in my mom's family, that's where they worked. They either worked on the line making Freightliners or they worked in the forest cutting down trees. And so as a result of this, I was always terrified of... I mean, this is one of those things that sounds dumb now, but I was terrified of logs growing up because all I got told was these horror stories because, like, my grandfather got killed by a log, got killed by a falling tree. And so growing up, we would... You know how it is when you're driving through some of these backwoods areas, especially in Oregon, and there's these logging trucks, and I don't know what it is about logging trucks, but they always are going around corners at like 700 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Like, you never see a logging truck going the speed limit in Oregon. They are always going double whatever the posted speed regulation is.
And if you have to slam on the brakes and you drive one of those things, you get decapitated, wouldn't you?
So, well, not only that, but, like, have you ever done this? Have you ever been on a road and you're next to the logging truck and the chains are holding the logs, and then you start doing the mental math about the chains and the amount of pressure that's being put on each link, and then you start thinking about phrases like, the weakest point in any chain is its weakest link. And you start thinking that one link is all it's going to take for those logs to roll onto you, and they're going to take you out with a dustbuster.
Yeah, I don't think anybody else is really that paranoid about driving next to the log truck other than you.
And not only that, here's another thing about driving in Oregon. It's not that Oregon drivers are bad, quite the contrary. You know who's bad? Idaho freaking drivers. People from Idaho are the goddamn worst drivers on earth. But here's the thing about driving in Oregon. I feel safer driving on even the most crime and crack-ridden Oakland street than driving in some of those back county roads in Oregon, because paradoxically, the smaller, darker, narrower, and more windy the road, the faster everybody drives. It's like, where are you going? I'm going out to Silverton. Where are you going? I'm going out to Mullal. I'm going out to Markham. And it's like you start getting on those roads where it's like they were designed by Salvador Dali. You know, where the roads are just all, just these gnarly hairpin turns, and everybody drives 98 miles an hour at 2 in the morning. It's just unbelievable. So, you got to have a few belts in you before you can drive some of those roads, and it's just unnerving. All right.
Well, Governor Kitzhaber will apologize today to hundreds of Oregonians sterilized by the state. This is long before there was mountain biking.
Isn't this like the 75th time we've had this story?
Yeah, but he's really going to do it today.
So today is when he's apologizing for sterilizing people who, by all rights, shouldn't be having children anyway.
Right. Mental retardation to epilepsy.
Yeah, okay.
Alcoholism to criminal behavior.
Because that's exactly what one is. More alcohols, retards, and drug users having children. That'll make the world a better place.
Anyway, it won't be done anymore.
All right.
J-Lo plays a single mother, Marissa Ventura, who meets the man of her dreams at a hotel she works at. This in Made in Manhattan. That's M-A-I-D. On returning to the Bronx with a character who is living there, Jennifer Lopez talks about what her character does. Jennifer.
It just made me realize how...
Yes?
How far away from that character I'm not. You know what I mean? It's just the same exact... It felt like the same exact thing. Like I had never left.
It feels like the same exact movie that Julia Roberts starting with Richard Gere a few years ago is exactly what it sounds like.
Well, no, that was in L.A. This is in New York. It's a whole different thing.
See also Made to Order with Ali Sheed. See also Cinderella, which is like 150 years old. Jesus. How old is Cinderella? Cinderella's not a Grimm story, is it? The hell does Cinderella come from?
Disney.
No. Thanks. Where do green beans come from? Safeway?
The giant.
No, but Cinderella is not a Grimm Brothers story, because it doesn't end with somebody being killed and disemboweled. Where did Cinderella come from?
I'm not really sure where the actual legend started.
All right. Well,
wasn't it Breakfast at Tiffany's that was basically the same?
Yeah, but I'm
the same storyline.
But I mean the actual Cinderella. Like,
right. I know. Yeah.
No, but the Cinderella story is a total type. It's an archetype. It's like
prancing around some forest in Europe.
Well, it's like Romeo and Juliet is of course an archetype. I don't know where Cinderella came from. This is turning into a really gay sounding conversation. So we'll.
Jennifer, do you ever freak out being in the public eye?
This is my job. You know what I mean? And I happen to love my job.
I'm just Jenny from the Block.
But I also know that that's a part of doing what I do. That's a byproduct of, you know, the fact that I'm in the public eye. Right. You know what I mean? And it never becomes like two separate people. The same way like people try to go, oh, you're acting and you're singing. I don't see it as two separate things. It's all me. You know what I mean? And I just deal
it's
with it,
me.
You know, appropriately
it's
for however
me,
is
sure.
best for my survival.
It's all her and her numerous uncredited collaborators, by the way. And can I, you know, Henry was talking about this the other night. Every once in a while, Henry comes out with an observation that is really just dead on. And the one about Jennifer Lopez, although it's been made about a lot of people, is this, which is like, exactly what is it that she does so well that she's famous for? You know what I mean? Out of sight, notwithstanding, I mean, none of her movies are any good. I mean, she hasn't made a single solitary good film other than Out of Sight with George Clooney, and that was largely good because of Clooney and Steven Soderbergh. Never made a good movie. None of her songs are any good. No one really buys her albums, and no one over the age of 12 purchases her records and really likes them. I mean, she's famous because she got a big ass. I mean, isn't that generally it? I don't mean to sound crass, but I mean, isn't that it? She's famous because she's got back. Isn't that the root?
No, I think when she actually released On the Six, which was kind of her first album that really came out and did anything.
I couldn't sing you a single song from that album.
Well, but there were a lot of songs on that made it onto the charts, that got popular with, you know, the 12-year-olds and 14-year-olds out there. And now there's a lot of her songs that end up in the clubs.
All right.
Because she's got decent dance beats to them and stuff, so they end up as remixes in clubs, and there's a lot of dance music.
It's not right. I realize that it's irrational and it's probably not fair, but I just despise her. Never met her, don't know anything about her. You know, the only things I know about Jennifer Lopez, who I refuse to call J-Lo, by the way, Everything I know about her comes from the New York Post, but I just despise her with, like, everything inside of me for reasons that I can't even really clarify or quantify. They're just there. I have nothing.
Jennifer, in 10 seconds or less, tell us about your relationship with Ben Affleck.
We just have a lot in common. We understand each other. I think we want similar things, you know, and he's just a wonderful person.
They like Scrabble and pepperoni pizza.
What, they're both Latina females from the Bronx?
he just Ben from the block. Yeah, all right. Well, am I sounding too grumpy today? Because the last time I got up into a thing about Jennifer Lopez, Bruce called me, "You're sounding too grumpy." Am I sounding unduly harsh? You tell me.
No.
No, I don't really think so. Not so much.
See, now you're just being a dick. No need to play the happy music. I'm not being that angry. But I do have to say, by the way, to underscore something I said last week, that I have had several people make the observation to me that I made, which is that Ben Affleck has plummeted several hundred stories in their estimation by hooking up with Jennifer Lopez.
It's like jumping the shark.
Well, yeah, well, it's exactly what it is. It's like, it's like when Winona Ryder got busted for stealing from Saks Fifth Avenue. And because all the Alterna guys and all the guys like me who are sort of alienated, bitter, outcast youth grew up just loving Winona Ryder. And the fact that she would steal from Saks Fifth Avenue, it was the fact that it was Saks Fifth Avenue that pained us so much. Because if you were a Winona Ryder fan, it's like Winona Ryder's characters used to shoot people who shopped at Saks Fifth Avenue. And then she gets busted actually shoplifting. That was just sad. All right.
Well, we'll have a combination of clouds and sunshine today. Highs 45 to 50. There may be some clouds and fog and more clouds. Lows in the 30s tonight. Then sunny after morning clouds and fog tomorrow. Highs in the 50s. Tim Riley, the KOTK News here, live around the world at KOTK.com. Made possible by Budget Computers, home of the $200 laptop.
That's what I'm talking about. All right. 1-800-727-5955. Let's go ahead and bring in the lovely Therese.
I'd really rather keep her in here, but Christina's bringing her in anyway.
Yes, I know. You get to see everybody who comes in, like they go to the green room or they sit in there, you get to see everybody like three times longer than I do anyway.
Well, as it should be, really.
All right. Let's welcome to the show our good friend Therese, who is here.
Hello.
Boy, you're just looking stunning again.
You know what?
I didn't think you could possibly look more stunning than last time, but here I am proven wrong.
Well, I'm wearing a turtleneck today, so I feel guilty.
Well, it's okay.
I am wearing a skirt, so I'm showcasing my legs.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you're sitting behind a counter, though. I'll show you later. Check them out later.
Okay.
That's excellent. while we're doing this, let's get a couple of these. Ryan in Tualatin, you're on Hot Talk 1080 KTK. What's up?
Hey, the Mother Goose and Grimm's story was Cinderella was originally started there. It was pretty horrific. I read it in grade school.
So Cinderella was a Grimm brother story.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right.
The stepsisters were like hacking up their feet. It was rather nasty to read in fifth grade.
All right, there you go, man. You want to warp your kid good? Just let him read some of those unadulterated Grimm brother stories. It's like having them read, you know, it's like Roald Dahl books are the same way. Do you ever really sit there and read a Roald Dahl book? I mean, the stuff that we put into our kids' heads is just, I mean, it's no wonder I'm so goddamn warped. I was reading, what was I reading just the other day? Because there was some person who appalled me by never having read any of the Roald Dahl books. And so I was like, well, not even James and the, everybody's read James and the Giant Peach. James and the Giant Peach, which is like the most horrific children's book ever, because in the first paragraph, James's parents are eaten by a rhinoceros while shopping. I mean, they're eaten alive by a rhinoceros. And then he's sent to live with his two abusive aunts, who he then kills by crushing them with a peach. I mean, it's just unbelievably weird stuff.
A giant peach.
A giant peach. All right. You're down with Roald Dahl, undoubtedly.
You know what? It was the Charlie, Willy Wonka, and the candy factory thing. I mean, that's every kid's dream, is to be stuck in a candy factory.
Can you name two of the child characters who are not Charlie Bucket from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
The Blueberry Girl. Wait, let me think. And then the little bratty British girl.
The whole job hinges on this. Wait, I can tell that you're totally relying on film knowledge. You're relying on knowledge of the film here.
No. I loved Uncle Charlie, which was Charlie's grandpa. Or uncle, I guess. His great uncle.
I feel like you're bluffing.
I'm not bluffing. I
That's okay. The tightness
Veruca
of your sweater
Salt.
Makes up for it. Yeah, Veruca Salt. Okay, I'll give you that
Thank
one.
Thank you.
John is a full-time listener in Hillsboro. What's up?
Hey, Rick. I know this is a hearsay information, but my closest sibling is in the movie industry and has worked on a couple of Jennifer Lopez films.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a do not make eye contact order with everybody on the crew.
Yeah. I try to do that here, but...
It is against the rules. You'll be terminated. They'll kick you off the upset if you make eye contact with her.
Well, you know, Roseanne Barr had the same thing on the Roseanne sitcom. She had this edict went out, this memo went out that you were not allowed to make eye contact with her, and because she didn't want to learn anybody's names, she gave everybody numbers they had to wear, and so you had to wear a text at like 17, and so she'd be like, 17, where's my lunch? You know,
yeah.
Sorry, Roseanne. You know, like, come over like bow and scrape. Yeah.
You know, you nothing like a good old fashioned down home Brooklyn girl like that. You know, all of a sudden, you know, everybody who's making $40 an hour isn't good enough for her.
Completely. So. Oh, but come on. She did Jenny from the Block. It's the worst song. And I know I talk about a lot of stuff being the worst whatever ever, but that is just, it's just horrific. I was watching, I don't know, VH1 or some crap this weekend, and they were doing some album release special. Just the worst music you've ever heard in your life. And I know that makes me sound just terminally old, but please. I saw a great bumper sticker the other day, by the way. They said, you're not getting old. The music really does suck. So, anyway. All right. Well, it was good of you to come in again today.
Well, thanks.
I'm a big fan of that.
I'm happy to see you.
Since Christina's not even staying through next week, as far as we know now, because you didn't check with her husband. You don't have a husband you got to check in with,
No, I told you. I have no pets, no children, no husband, no boyfriend at this point.
That's what I like to hear.
Looking pretty grim out
there. And you know, your producer's working on that, really.
And you came in at the drop of a hat.
Yeah, wasn't that nice of me?
I mean, just with like only 40 minutes notice, came in at the drop of a hat, still looking great.
And she told me she just drove up from Eugene today. So it wasn't like she was, I mean, like she...
See?
Drove into town.
Drove up from Eugene and still, you know, and still beat from the road, still comes in just to help out the Rick.
I had a workout before I came in, too.
See, and she stays in shape. She's going to be looking good in years to come. She's not going to be sitting around Ben putting away Doritos. You know what I'm talking about. It's true. All right, can I just tell you that the last time you were on last Tuesday, last Wednesday, and we got so much email from guys who wanted you to get the job.
Are you kidding?
Because you just sounded so amazingly put together. You sounded so on top of it.
Hey, I'm really...
You'd never move to Bend on me, would you?
You know what? We were just... Christina and I were just discussing the fact that they don't have a Nordstrom's pretty much makes that out of the question for me.
Okay, but I have to admit now that you've just gotten a small black mark against your name because
really.
Nordstrom really doesn't have an S on the end of it. It really is just Nordstrom.
It's a proper name, as a matter of fact.
Is somebody named Nordstrom created that store?
It really is. It's the Nordstrom family.
Yeah, it's not possessive.
Yeah, right.
Just like
normally, I shop Bloomingdale's.com anyway.
See, you've got taste, you've got style,
you
got quality. That's what I'm talking about. Can you do the traffic?
I can do the traffic.
Okay, so in a few minutes, so we'll get her lined up. In a few minutes, we'll have Teresa do the traffic.
I think I remember that last time Teresa was here, though, she said that there was no way that she would want this job.
Okay, I'm tired. Don't, look, hate the game, not the player.
I'm just really information.
Why you gotta be hating over there? I think somebody's jealous.
I didn't know.
I think somebody's a little bit envious that Therese is here and being the object of my affection at the moment and not you.
You'd like to think.
I think somebody's protestations to the contrary. Somebody's gotten used to being daddy's favorite little girl and doesn't like the idea of somebody else coming in, taking the limelight.
She just said last time that she knew that she was overqualified. You said she was overqualified for this job,
Well, she's overqualified, so obviously we can't hire her. Obviously we should go with someone who's a stooge. Obviously, we should go find somebody who can't tie their own shoes. Oh, being overqualified is not a problem for us. It might be a problem for you if you decide to leave.
Well, you know.
What are you doing? So you're just hanging out?
I am trying very hard to find work.
Okay, see? So
in case the unemployment office is listening.
See, look at that. Look at that, the symbiosis there. So she's looking for work. We're looking for someone to work. That's what I'm talking about. Dave, you're in Portland. What's up with you?
Yeah, sounds like you need to hang on to the new girl because you know how nurses kind of tend to plump up after a while.
Well, not only, it's also, are you talking about my girlfriend, pal?
Well, maybe.
What are you talking about there?
That's not nice.
What, didn't you mention something about nurses all being something?
Well, I don't think so. I mentioned the fact that, Matt mentioned that she's going to trade me in on a younger model when she starts making the call.
No.
That's beyond the observation
that all nurses are fat.
That's when she becomes a doctor, she'll trade you in on a younger model.
I don't think I ever made that observation. I certainly wouldn't make it on the air. What do I want to get beaten with a fireplace poker when I go home? Nurses all turn fat. Whack. Right on the side of the head. No, and it's not nurses. It's just, never mind. I shouldn't. Let's
stop
move
now.
On. Because there's no. There's just certain things I can't say. There's just certain things I can't. Observations no man can make about anybody.
I would not let you talk badly about your girlfriend.
Well, I don't talk badly. When have I ever talked badly about my girlfriend? Never. And I never referred to nurses as getting fat. Jesus, what do I want to go and lose my sack? I don't think so.
The weird about nurses that I noticed is that they all smoke.
And,
well, I don't get that.
No, well, they all smoke and they've all got prescription drug habits. Like, I can't even tell you how many people I know in the medical profession that are just on that Loratab, like there's nobody's business, just putting away the pills constantly.
I guess I would be, too, if I worked as a nurse.
All right, let's go to the house of Rick. Tony, what's up with you?
What's Loratab?
What's that?
What did you say, Loratab?
Loratab. It's a pain medication. It's a lot like Vicodin.
All right.
Yeah, what do you got?
Well, I was just wondering, I was going to ask that girl if she had any problems with her boss having a sexual hang-up with her.
Teresa, so if you worked at a place that wasn't here, and there was some immediate superior to you, what are you talking about?
What do you think I'm talking about?
Oh, at least she doesn't have a husband.
Oh, that's true.
All right, so there's not going to be some husband in here glowering at me.
No.
All right. Okay, so you ready to do the traffic in?
I will. Am I doing it now? Right.
Okay,
this second?
We'll play the sounder here in just a second. You roll out the traffic. We got to get a picture of you today, too. So all the dudes wanted to know what you look like. And you're looking fine today. Even without being able to see your legs. You could just be a torso on a chair.
You can't see her legs.
I can't.
Well,
she's over behind the counter.
I can.
She wasn't. She was sitting over here in the chair earlier.
Well, bully for you. You're not the ones doing the hiring. I'm doing the hiring. I need to see the legs. I didn't say that. Okay, we'll be back. That was human resources. I never said any such thing.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Have to get the bug off from the show.
Yes, yeah, just do the whole script. So this is the part where I say, and now, here's Therese with the traffic.
Excellent. Hope nothing bad has happened in the last 10 minutes. Oh, now?
Yeah.
Oh, we're on the air.
It's
see
okay.
How funny that is? Yeah.
Now, see, even her mistakes are amusing.
Well, hopefully I won't make any more. The 26 eastbound, no problems. I-84 westbound, no problems. I-5 northbound, traffic flowing freely from North Wilsonville, Stafford to the ramp to the Markham Bridge.
See that you've got your voice has got a warm yet crisp timbre. You've got a pleasant and personable demeanor and delivery.
Thanks. So then southbound, of course, traffic flowing freely. How many F's are there in one sentence? Carolina Turkey's new Grand Tradition Sliced Deli Turkey Breast has the great taste of holiday turkey your family will love. 365 days a year, not just Christmas. Ask for your Grand Traditions at Albertson's Deli. I'm Therese Lang, and that's your commuter update on Hot Talk KTOK.
KOTK. Oh, you had it, Zillian.
I like it.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. I like this. We ought to just have some, like, Rick Emerson's Chick of the Day Club or something. We ought to start having a different chick in every day to audition for this.
Yeah, I was saying, we have so many people that are interested in it, we could probably put that together for the week.
You know who emailed me about it was, what's her name, from Barbarella, Alicia, the bass player from Barbarella. She dropped me this email, she's like, I'm unemployed, and I think probably also drunk when she wrote the email. She's like, I'd like Christina's job, and it's like, I think everybody sort of likes the idea of Christina's job, and then when they get here, they realize that actually having Christina's real job isn't nearly so much fun, but we should totally exploit their tentative interest in it. And have them in. Remind me, note to self, to call her.
Call
the Barbarella folks after the show and see if Alicia wants to come in and audition this week.
We can do that.
Yeah, we'll see when you set it up.
This is exactly what it's like to be Joe Esterhaus and Jerry Bruckheimer. You know what I mean? Just sit there in the office behind a walnut with a cigar going, send in the next one. All right. Oh, speaking of which, Therese, if you want to stick around for the top five in the How Chicks Think here, we'd love to have you.
Sure.
Oh, I still haven't seen your... Okay, remind me to look at your skirt here in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
But I got this email, speaking of chicks who are auditioning for the job. So if you heard us on Friday, Christina's sister, Annalisa, was in here, and we have this email. Rick, you may not want to listen to this, Christina.
Okay.
Christina's younger sister, by the way, who looks just like Mina Savari, who's that blonde chick from American Beauty.
I told you.
The seductress.
Like,
but I didn't believe you. And, man, she's like a dead ringer for Mina Savari. But she's legal. She's
actually, I think she's better looking than
she's
Mina Savari.
She's got nicer teeth.
She really is. She's got.
I thought Christina wasn't going to listen.
Yeah, she wasn't supposed to be.
Yeah. Well, she's taller, too, is your family gone now? They're not in town anymore.
No, they're gone.
Yeah, okay. Taller, longer hair.
Taller, longer hair, a little more curvy.
Yeah.
Your sister actually is
ben
like
me
a...
or Mina Savari?
Mina Savari. Okay. Mina Savari is very willowy, universe slender. Rick, thanks for having that sex kitten on your show the other day. And then he puts parenthetically Christina's sister. She certainly doesn't sound innocent. And her voice, oh, baby... Please tape that voice and sell it for those long, lonely nights. I don't care if Matt or Tim or anybody have to take pay cuts. You must hire Christina's sister. Your listenership will triple at least. I hope you read this. Also, a picture of her would really make your website that much better. It would go well while I'm listening to the audio tape. Your fan, but now also hers. Thanks for letting me go on and on. Mark, and then he sends it, oh yeah, F Matt with anything but Christina's sister.
This F Matt could be sponsored by your business.
All right. By the way, speaking of pictures, we do have to get a picture of you, Therese, for the website, because the last time you were on, we had this flood of emails from guys
I'm
who
flattered.
Wanted to... Well, because everybody digs you. I mean, the vote, it was like 98 to 1.
I'm pretty darn fun.
For hiring you. You really are.
Yeah.
Wanted me to note that you wore a skirt just for the show today?
Or? Well, I figured that last week was the cleavage.
Yeah, that's right. So the first time you came in, it was a bustier.
Yes.
All right, so I'll have to stand up here.
Okay.
All right, so you're wearing a black turtleneck sweater and is it gingham if it's black and
this
white?
This is called
herringbone.
Uh-huh.
See, she's cultured, got a little bit of polish to her. So a herringbone skirt, rather short, I might add. Black nylons. Are nylons the same thing as tights?
These are actually tights.
Tights are thicker.
Okay, are they both the same thing as pantyhose?
I don't know.
I don't actually know.
In any event, so you're wearing a black... Nylons. No, tights. Black
mm-hmm.
tights and then black heels to go with them,
mm-hmm.
too. And it's just a great package it is,
and
by
short
the way.
Brown hair, like to her chin.
That's what I'm talking about.
Dark red lipstick. You look great.
Thank you, Christina. She's such a cute girl.
See? And you know how to take a compliment. You're very suave, very sophisticated. Let's talk to Adam in Portland. What's up with you?
Hate J-Lo. I don't understand. I don't. Why does everyone like her so much?
It's just because she's got a big ass. And the thing too is that she gets a lot of credit for being really sort of ethnic. But again, it's the sort of ethnic that Mariah Carey is, which is like the really Caucasian looking, completely unthreatening to whitey ethnic. You know what I mean?
I just recall her getting famous because she was an actress, and then she made the typical actress move to music, which. Isn't a good thing, but it happened anyway, and the lemons are eating it up.
No, I'm totally with you on that. It's kind of like that business of Christina Aguilera trying to pass herself off as Latin. You know what I mean?
She's skanky.
She really is. See, and you are not skanky. You're just the furthest thing from skanky I can possibly...
You know, the thing
that... superlatives, really, to talk about Therese and your fitness for this job.
The thing that gave J-Lo all of her credit, though, is that she was a dancer on...
And she's a triple threat.
No, she was a dancer on...
She's a fly girl.
Yeah, one of the fly girls.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, all right. Here's your top five for Monday.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire! Counting is the thunder, counting is the best thing to do. Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy. I love to count, don't you?
Alrighty, it's Tim Riley in the KFTK Newsroom with your top five.
And in order to combat any linger cases of the Mondays that may be lurking, the Rick Emerson Show presents the top five songs about a day of the week.
These are the top five songs written about a specific day of the week, as determined by the cast and crew of the Rick Emerson Show.
Honorable mention goes to the Bengals for Manic Monday.
Is on the list not only because we all lust it after Susanna Hoffs's Younger People, but because this song is written by Prince. And she knew it was written by Prince.
I saw the Bengals in concert in Las Vegas recently.
Excellent.
Like a year ago.
All right. Do you consider yourself a music fan? Fan of the arts?
I have really weird taste in music. I like blues and.
So you've got soul too.
I have a very deep.
Would you describe your soul as being more sensual or more sultry?
I really have to think about that.
All right.
Anytime you're done trying to get kicked out of your apartment, we can move on to top five.
All right. There's your honorable mention.
Number five, the Bay City Rollers with Saturday.
You love this song. You know it. You sing along in your car, and don't pretend you don't. Everybody loves this song.
I used to sing this on the way home from prep school.
You say you don't love this song, you're a lying bastard. And some of you probably have dance routines made up in this part. Here you go. Okay, this song was the inspiration for what punk anthem? Anybody know? No. Blitzkrieg Bop by the Ramones. That Hey Ho, Let's Go. Hey Ho, Let's Go. Joey Ramone says it was directly stolen from S-A-T-U-R-D-A-Y by the Bay City Rollers.
They're from Scotland.
They wear tartans. And like three of them have gone to prison for child molestation.
No, have they?
Yeah, it's true. Saw the whole thing and Where Are They Now?
I used to read about them in Teen Beat. I love them.
Did you read Tiger Beat too? Did you have Sean Cassidy posters on your wall?
I know Sean Cassidy.
What?
I'm not kidding.
Christina, you can go ahead and leave today if you really feel like... What? You have Sean Cassidy's home phone number?
It's at my house, but yeah.
The more she talks, the more I know we can't afford her.
I was going to say, we may have to go to your house to get it later.
Number four, U2, Sunday Bloody Sunday.
I hate this song. I hate this band. I hate the lead singer for this band, but I knew if I didn't put it on, I'd get lynched.
I'm shocked that this made your list.
I don't want it to be on here, but what are you going to do? You have to. Freaking U2 fans, man. They go nutty. The only reason this isn't higher, by the way, is because it's not about a day of the week per se. It's about a specific Sunday. It's about one single Sunday in history. It's not about Sunday in general. It should be noted, by the way, we can list some things that are not on this countdown. Ruby Tuesday, not on here because it's about a woman, not a day of the week. It's not about a Tuesday. It's about Ruby Tuesday, who is a person.
Number three is The Cure, Friday I'm in Love.
I know it makes me look like a big pussy, but I love The Cure. Man, I gotta tell you how much I love The Cure. I know it makes me look like some sort of limp-wristed Brit, but man, you talk about a great pop song. This is pure pop for now people. Especially when you're like 15 years old, some chick dumps you or won't return your calls. You go into your room and it's either Black Sabbath or this, depending on whether you're angry or morose. Draw the blinds, sit down like in a, like literally like sit inside a closet, like shutting out the outside world, listening to Disintegration over and over again. It's completely true.
If you were both morose and you're like pissed off the world, it was a Smithereens 11.
Completely, I could get with that. And you want to talk about a guy that the chicks love. Robert Smith from The Cure. Chicks dig him. And it's weird because he looks like Bela Lugosi, and yet the chicks are all about him. And he always does his shows wearing a hockey jersey. You got to give him props for styling.
And we have number two, Kris Kristofferson, Sunday Morning Coming Down.
This is the saddest song. This is the most depressing.
The Johnny Cash one is better than this.
Oh, because he just sounds like he's dead.
On the Sunday morning saddle.
This is totally when you're there with a shotgun in your mouth.
You can almost smell the armpits of that shirt.
Opening one can of Budweiser after another, sitting on that ratty sofa. Just like waiting for pro wrestling to be over so you can kill yourself, having completed all of your life's goals up to that point. This seriously is the song that, like, you know, some country fan listens to as he's like polishing the gun.
I'm wondering if there was a song more from this decade.
You mean up for the list?
Yeah.
There haven't been any good. There haven't been any good day of the week songs. It is Friday, I'm in Love. There's that. We also left off Tuesday's Gone because, see, also the Rolling Stones. Tuesday's Gone is not about a day of the week, but about a woman. Also, I don't like Mondays by the Boomtown Rats because it's crap.
Number one, Elton John. Saturday Night's All Right for Biting.
Elton John was never better than this. This is second only to Goodbye Yellow Brick Road in the whole opera. I don't care who you are. I don't care what kind of music you consider yourself a fan of. You love this song. Ignore the inferior cover by The Who. This is even better than The Bitch Is Back. And it's hard to believe that this is the same man who did that Circle of Life crap for Disney. You know what I mean? That guy who does those songs for The Littlest Mermaid or whatever the hell that is. It's hard to believe they're the same person. By the way, it should be noted that the little guitar riff for this was stolen by the guys who did that Gloria song. Remember that Gloria, Gloria? That's totally stolen
that
from
Laura
the guitar
Branigan.
Look in here. Laura Branigan?
Uh-huh.
And you know music. You're pop culture literate.
Well, I don't know a lot of music. Like headbanging stuff I'm not
You knew
really
Laura Branigan.
That was my era.
I could lock an infinite number of monkeys in a room with typewriters. They wouldn't be able to come up with Laura Branigan. You knew it. That's what I'm talking about.
Was that a compliment? You just said she's smarter than a room full of monkeys.
Well,
thanks.
More do you say about me? I mean, it doesn't really seem conceivable now that Elton John could rock, but, you know, God damn it, this is just a great rock song. This is better than all the crap the Stones were turning out at the same time.
Yeah, they've kind of flipped on that now, though.
All right. We've got more coming up here, including How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk. Note how this guitar riff was stolen for that Gloria song. We'll be back.
Live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, here's Christina.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. In just a moment, we got another edition of How Chicks Think. Let's quickly grab Eli. It's a first-time caller in Sherwood. What's up with you?
Hey, man, I just want to let you know that I love your show first off the bat.
Cool.
Never had any complaints about your top five, but
until...
I like to hear like a little honorable mention for that Mamas and the Papas. You know, everybody in this whole generation knows that song.
Monday.
You know.
I know. I just, there's only five slots, and it's like...
I hear you.
Monday, Mamas and the Papas are the Bengals. I mean, it's a hard choice.
Yeah, definitely so. Well, thanks a lot.
Excellent.
Christina, sorry you're leaving.
All right. There you go. I'm surprised we, and I'm not encouraging this, by the way. I'm surprised we haven't gotten some F Christinas. I kind of expected those. I'm not encouraging. I'm just saying I sort of expected that would happen. Tim is a first-time caller in Salem. What's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a little correction here that Robert Smith does not look like Bela Lugosi. He looks more like the Snambulist from the Cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
Oh, well, okay. Well, there you go.
All right.
There. Okay. Let's do How Chicks Think with them. Jolie from the front desk. Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. See, and this song's going to be in my goddamn head all day. It will never leave. Oh. So, Jolie from the front desk, how are you?
Oh, I've been better.
Have you had a chance to meet Teresa? Isn't she charming?
Yes, we're chatting.
Isn't she the greatest person?
Jolie
she
doesn't feel well today.
Really?
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. Have you got that Amazon death flu that's going around?
Yeah.
It's a bad scene.
Whoa.
You
because
sound kind
of
stuffed up.
Because of Matt, you know, your big old earache thing and you couldn't move your mouth and all that?
Your locked jaw?
Yeah, completely separate thing. Inner ear infection, not contagious.
Your spinal fusion is spreading.
Well, yeah, it is.
All right, well, today's question for How Chicks Think, it comes to us from, let's see, from Andrew, and it says, I was in a bar this weekend and I saw a woman I wanted to meet, but then was perplexed about how to go about that successfully. Then I remembered y'all and thought Jolie could help me. That's Andrew, who's a full-time listener. There you go. All right, so I guess that's the... Well, that's okay. So that's the thing where you're at the bar and you see the person across the crowded room or whatever. Mm-hmm. Guy's in the bar, sees the chick, wants to move on the chick, and then it's like the what next?
Of course.
Because there's several things. You can either just circle like a vulture until she begins to be creeped out and then she like leaves, or makes a mental note never to sleep with you because you've just been hovering. Or there's, you know, you can go over and what'd you sign? Or just, you know, whatever, like some retarded.
Yeah.
And those never work.
Right.
So what should you do?
Well, I had a couple little ideas come up. One from one of the salesmen here. He says, just go up to the girl and say, hey, do you want to fall in love for a couple hours?
Hey.
That doesn't work for me.
No, I'm teasing. Really?
Yeah, I mean, if a guy just came up to you and said,
I just thought it was funny. He said it worked.
For who?
But I don't think so.
For a sales guy?
Yeah, for
a sales guy. Don't ever believe anything comes out of their mouth anyway.
I won't tell you who it is. No. But, no, really, I got some good advice here, and I think this is very classy. What you do is you kind of notice what she's drinking, or, you know, you ask the cocktail waitress, and then send her over a drink, tell the waitress, you know, if she's interested, tell her to come over and talk to me. You know, that way, if she says no, she'll just, you know, she'll say no thank you or whatever, and you won't have put yourself too out
there.
So it's sort of a
dowry sort of a thing, where you send her some bison, you know, or a cattle or whatever,
and whatever.
Then if her people feel good about the gift, then she'll come back over to your hut and talk to you.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Well, you don't want to get too close.
Well,
of course not.
You might not want to, but also the woman has to be classy enough to politely refuse the drink and send it back.
Oh, now see, Therese, you know what she is? You know, you're like the Deion Sanders. You're able to switch. You can do the traffic. You're able to pitch in on the how chicks think. You know how to
dress.
How
in the hell did you just pull a Deion Sanders reference?
Dude, I'm a multitasker.
Knowing the two sport thing there.
I'm not allowed to have facets. I can't have layers.
You have no layers when it comes to sports.
Dude, I got layers like a cake. All right? I got layers like a seven-layer burrito.
Love
that cake. So, wait. So if you send a drink to a girl and she looks... Okay, first of all, does she look over and look at the guy... And if he's attractive, she accepts the drink. And if he's ugly, she doesn't. Is that how it works?
Well, I don't know if it's attractive or ugly. Do you, Julie? I think it's
how
it depends.
How do you decide whether to accept the drink?
Depends on what they send.
If you have better offers that night.
If you have better
offers. If you have your
eye on
somebody else. If
this
not,
is only
you know,
in Manhattan. I had a guy send over three Bloody Marys before.
Well, if the woman's married or taken, obviously that, well, right there, you know.
So if you're not single, you won't accept the drink?
Absolutely not.
But if you are single, you always, like, why, if, let's assume you're single, why would you not accept the drink?
Look, if the guy's going like this.
drooling.
Yeah, drooling.
I have sound effects, too.
I was going to say, I always consider that a plus if a woman was actually salivating. That's, I consider my work is half done there. So,
yeah.
But so if the guy is just playing it cool, though, you'll probably accept the drink. And then if you accept the drink, then should the guy come over later and, hey.
Well, no, if she accepts the drink, and no, what I told the waitress was to have her come over. If she's interested, have her come over and sit at my table.
Oh, I see. So
like
then
the man.
So the guy makes the first move from afar.
Right. Uh-huh.
And then if the woman likes it, then she accepts the drink, then comes over later.
Uh-huh.
All right.
And they'll chat and what
then,
have you.
And then whatever. So that avoids the whole, you know, hey, so are you standing in?
The whole humiliation.
The whole crushing, the whole soul-destroying rejection. Excellent. There's another edition of How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk.
I was going to say, I didn't know this was Christina Aguilar, and I vote for a new
I couldn't find anything. We labored over what song to use. We couldn't think of anything better.
If I find a good one at home, can we maybe change it?
Somebody sent me, I had this techno remix of Helen Reddy's I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar.
Oh,
but then the whole notion of admitting that I had a techno remix of I Am Woman just sounded so impossibly homosexual.
Well, you're doing it already, so why not?
It sounded fabulous, so maybe I'll go dig.
Come on.
It was a super rendition.
You want to talk about the gayest song ever? You know what else I own? Here's something else I own. I own a techno remix of the Phantom of the Opera theme song. Because it was on a CD of a bunch of techno bumps that a guy dropped off to me. And it's like, and it's so it's sit like on my computer now. That song is sitting. It's just so embarrassing.
I'm going out on the limb one more time. There's nothing gay about going to see or enjoying Phantom of the Opera.
Please. Not if you're going to get laid, but if you're just going for yourself, you're a knob guy.
I've never gone solo, but it's not the point.
You've never gone solo.
Did you get the girl?
Dude, I have to go solo all the time. It's the story of my life. All right. Well, Jolie, thank you. Therese, thank you again for coming in.
I had fun today.
I mean, I shudder to think of what would happen if I had you come in again. I mean, I think that you might actually just, like, spontaneously combust if you had to look any more attractive because you're just so much even better this time
charm.
Than last time.
That's that Rick Emerson charm.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about.
That's Mama, like.
Yeah. See, that's what
I'm... Hey, Laura, go ahead and start packing his stuff now. You can just set it on the porch.
Slick like
he'll pick it up when he gets there.
I'm not taking him away.
All right, we'll be back with more, including Richard Nunn from the WB and Harry Gantz, the man behind the HBO show But the Sex is Good. Don't go anywhere. The Rick Emerson Show continues next.